Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in. I'm the Next Steps pastor here at Grace River, and so grateful that you're here with us for week number two of our series, Unpredictable Savior. And today I want to look at four different accounts from the biographies of Jesus, one from each of the Gospels, which means good news, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what that has to say about who Jesus values and what that means for you. And my hope is that you walk out today from having this conversation together, that you'll walk away knowing that God absolutely loves you, that he values you no matter what your story, no matter where you've been or how far you've run from God. And that if you're a follower of Jesus, that you'll walk away thinking about how God values every single person that you come eyeball to eyeball with, every single person that you'll see in your day, that God's placed you where he's placed you for a purpose, for a reason, and you have the opportunity to help other people experience his love and other people to know how much he values them. You know, when you think about Jesus, God in the flesh, Savior, Messiah, King of the world, you would think a coming king like that would hang out with the elite, hang out with other kings, royalty, the wealthy, but that's not Jesus' MO. You would think, as the Savior of the world, that he would hang out with the most religious, the best of the best, the good people. But again, that's not necessarily who Jesus hung out with. Matter of fact, Jesus valued everyone, and no matter, again, what their story or what their past, and he values you as well. Well, hey, I want to look at four different accounts and four different types of people that Jesus valued that might seem a little unpredictable if you were going to come as a Savior, as a King, as a Messiah. You know, Jesus valued the outsider. He valued the outsider. That's one of the people that he valued deeply. And, you know, I moved from an area where everybody was from there. And when we first moved to the area, like, it was hard to break in. We were an outsider. And maybe you felt like an outsider before as well. I want to look at an account that Jesus had with somebody in Luke chapter 19. It's the third book of the New Testament of the Bible, 19 verse 1. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Now, the chief tax collector was somebody who was hated, well, by everybody. Tax collectors, I mean, not unlike today, like they weren't the most loved person, right? But then you're the chief tax collector. Now, the chief tax collector meant that you were a Jewish person taxing Jewish people on behalf of the oppressive Roman government. So you were considered a traitor. On top of that, he was taking money off the top, adding taxes on top of the Roman taxes, which already were exorbitant. He's adding more on top of it so that he could become wealthy. And he was hated by everyone. He was an outsider for sure. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see the crowd, so he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was passing by. Now, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. I love that, because it's not like Zacchaeus was yelling, "Hey, Jesus, Jesus, look at me." But that Jesus saw Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. And now, we don't have any other place in the Bible where it seems to show that Jesus knew Zacchaeus before. But he knows him, and he calls him by name. And he says, "I must stay at your house today." Now, the truth is, he could have stayed at a lot of different people's houses. He probably had lots of invitations to go to people who were better off in society, seen by society in a better way than this traitor. But he says, "I must stay at your house today. I must come to your house today." Why? Because he was on a mission. So he goes to his house, and Zacchaeus quickly climbs down, takes Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. Like, he's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Here's Zacchaeus, this guy who's an outsider, who everybody hates. And the people are angry. Like, why would Jesus go and hang out with somebody like that, with an outsider, with a sinner? Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. He knew what he'd done. He knew his past, but he still saw him. He still wanted to be in relationship with him. And Zacchaeus' story shows us that no one is too far gone. You might think that you're an outsider, but like Zacchaeus, you can become an insider because of Jesus' love for you. And this encounter with Jesus changed everything for Zacchaeus. It can change it for you too. Jesus not only values the outsider, he values the outcast, the rejected. In John chapter 4, there's an account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. This woman who had multiple failed relationships and was an outcast in her own hometown. In John chapter 4, Jesus is going from Judea to Galilee with the disciples. And it says in verse 4 that he had to go through Samaria. Now, the truth is, he didn't have to go through Samaria. It wasn't like Samaria, like that was the only route from Judea to Galilee. In fact, most Jewish people would go around Samaria, even though it would take them a couple more days. Why? Because the Jewish people and the Samaritans hated each other. They hated each other. But it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why? Because he was on a mission. He had to go through Samaria because there was someone that he needed to meet. And so they get to this well about noon, and he tells the disciples to go into town and to get some food. And then it says this in John chapter 4, verse 7. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." Now, this was so countercultural, so out of the norm. This was crazy that this Jewish man would say to this Samaritan woman, "Please give me a drink." That he would even acknowledge her, right? A Jew talking to a Samaritan, a man talking to a woman in public, and especially a rabbi, a teacher, talking to a woman in public. And then Jesus has the audacity to say, "Hey, can you draw some water? And with your cup that has touched Samaritan lips, can you give me a drink?" But Jesus does. Now, I'm not going to read through the whole story, but this woman is shocked. I mean, this just does not happen. And Jesus starts asking these questions, and they begin this conversation. I mean, she's there in the middle of the day. She's there all alone. It's just her and Jesus. The women from the town, they would come out to the well early in the morning in the cool of the day before the sun was at its highest, or maybe in the evening, but here, now, nobody. And for this woman, that's the point. She's an outcast. She's been rejected. She's got a past, and she lives in a small town, and everybody knows her business, and everybody's talking about it. She's got a reputation. And so she comes out to the well with all the other women, and she has to face the stares and the whispers and the dirty looks. So instead, she comes at noon. She trudges here alone. She draws water alone. She walks back home alone. But it's better than facing that kind of judgment. Well, Jesus sees her. He wants to enter into this conversation with her, but he wants to hit to the heart of the issue because he cares about, ultimately, her soul. In John chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." Now, can you imagine what this woman thought? She had to be like, "You got to be kidding. Like, I've never even met this man before. I've never seen him in my life, but now he knows all about me. He knows my whole story. Somebody from town has already been blabbing to him about my past." Here comes some more shame. Here comes some more guilt. Here comes another moment when I'm an outcast and I'm rejected. But Jesus doesn't treat her that way, obviously. He breaks down the barriers. They have this conversation, and ultimately she goes back to her village, to all the people who have rejected her, to all the people who have talked about her, to all the people where she's an outcast. And he shares that she met someone that knew everything about her, and that maybe he's the Messiah, and that maybe he's a savior, and that he knew all about her, but he didn't reject her. He didn't dismiss her. And now at the end of John chapter 4, we read this, verse 39. "Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, 'He told me everything I ever did.' When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear the message and believe. And then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world.'" This woman was an outcast, dismissed by her whole village, yet she goes to the whole village and she shares that she's met this person, Jesus, and that maybe he's the Savior, that maybe he's the Messiah. That's the power of acceptance. And I love at the end of this chapter, as the town converses with her, the person that they had rejected, now they're conversing with her. Listen, you may be rejected everywhere, but you're accepted by the only one that really ultimately matters. Jesus' arms are open wide to you, no matter what your past, no matter how far you've run from him. He values the outcast. He not only values the outsider and the outcast, he values the overwhelmed. The person who feels oppressed, the person who feels broken. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 20, there's the story of a guy who was not in his right mind. The Bible actually says that he was demon-possessed. And Jesus shows up on this shore. He comes across on a boat. They land on the shore, and almost immediately, this guy cuts everywhere, naked, not in his right mind, falls before Jesus, throws himself down. Now, the people of the town, they had tried to restrain him. They had put chains and shackles on him, but like a Hulk smash, he had like broken free of those time and time again. And so here he is. No one could subdue him. It says this in Mark chapter 5, verse 5. "Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones." So long story short, Jesus casts out these demons out of this man. And a crowd comes to see the commotion. These demons had been cast out into some pigs. They'd ran off a cliff and drowned, and the shepherds had went into town and told everybody. So a crowd comes out, and they see this man sitting before Jesus in his right mind, fully dressed, and they're scared. They're scared because, like, what kind of power can do that? They're scared because all these pigs ran off a cliff, and they don't want their produce and their livestock to be destroyed. They love their bacon, I guess, but And so they ask Jesus, like, you need to leave. You need to get out of here. The guy wants to go with him, of course. I mean, Jesus just totally transformed his life. But Jesus says, no, you can't come with me. He goes, I want you to go to your family and friends and tell them about the goodness of God in your life. Mark chapter 5, verse 20. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he had told them. I mean, this guy was seen as being beyond help. He was broken and in need of healing. And yet God did a miracle in his life. And then used him to impact the people that he knew. Listen, maybe you feel overwhelmed, maybe struggling, feeling broken, maybe you're struggling with your mental health or addiction, filled with anxiety and fear, struggling with the circumstances and situations in your life. Whatever it is, you feel trapped, and maybe in some respects you feel about as chained up as they tried to make that guy, but I'm telling you, Jesus can free you. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can restore you and then give you a purpose like this man. He went from being feared to being a witness to the goodness of God all over the region. And he can do the same thing for you. He can restore you, give you a purpose, and set you free. When things seem hopeless, Jesus can still bring healing. Jesus values the overwhelmed and the broken. And listen, hope is found in Jesus. Your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. Jesus values the outsider, the outcast, the overwhelmed. He also values the ordinary. Maybe that's how you feel, just kind of ordinary. Normal, nothing special, average Jane, average Joe. Nothing amazingly bad, nothing amazingly good. Pastor Chris talked about that in last week's message. How he calls the unqualified. And how we're called to just say yes, and how he can use the ordinary to do something extraordinary. If you didn't watch it, man, I would encourage you to go back. It was so, so good and would be so, so helpful. But maybe you felt that way. Listen, God wants to use you. This unpredictable Savior values the outsider, values the outcast, the overwhelmed, the ordinary, and he values the overlooked. Maybe more than ordinary. Maybe more than an outcast, you just feel overlooked. You feel at times invisible, unseen, alone. In Jesus' day, no one felt more alone. No one felt more maybe overlooked than someone who had leprosy. It was a highly contagious an incurable disease. They were kicked out of the community, away from anybody that they loved. They were isolated and alone. They had to take a bell, and as they went through any place where other people were, ring the bell and yell, unclean, unclean. And as terrible as this disease of leprosy was, it was 10 times worse because of that aloneness. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says this. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. And suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Like, can you imagine that? This is a guy that should be ringing the bell, yelling, unclean, unclean, and everyone's steering totally clear of him. There's these large crowds around Jesus as he's walking down this mountainside. And this guy comes and kind of throws himself in front of Jesus, this leper. And I'm guessing there was gasps. And people were taking five steps back quickly. And then it says this. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him, knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. Now I'm guessing as Jesus began to reach out, gasps again, probably Peter, who was impulsive, one of his disciples, yelled, don't do it. Jesus, what are you doing? Don't touch that man. He's got leprosy. Jesus reached out and touched him. I'm willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Now, I love this moment. It's one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Because Jesus really sees the man. He knows he needs healing from leprosy, But Jesus could have just said, you know, step back. You got leprosy. Be healed. But he didn't. Because he knew that this guy needed physical healing. But he knew he needed spiritual healing. He knew he needed emotional healing. And so Jesus reaches out and touches him. This guy was isolated. He was overlooked. He was alone. And he needed that touch just as much as he needed that physical healing. And listen, you might feel like you're overlooked, isolated, alone, but Jesus sees you. He sees you. He knows. Jesus values everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what your story. Whether you've been in church your whole life, or you've been watching online for the last couple weeks, and it's kind of your first step back in. Now listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you received his grace and his love and forgiveness, if you're walking with him, then what you need to understand is not only his value for you, but that he values every single person that you're going to come eyeball to eyeball with. Who do you know that you feel like is the farthest away from Jesus? The person who's the outcast, the person who's overwhelmed, the person who's overlooked, maybe the ordinary person. Who's that person, the outsider, that God wants to use you to share his love with? So if you're a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you. Who are the people around you that need to know this unpredictable Savior? And then will you pray for that outsider, that outcast, that overwhelmed, that ordinary person, that overlooked person? Will you pray? And look for the opportunity to be used by God that they would know how valued they are by him. Maybe, honestly, for you, you felt this. You felt like, man, I don't know what God would ever see in me. I don't know how he could ever value me. I don't know how he could ever use me. Why would he want anything to do with me? Maybe you haven't seen much value in yourself to God. I've got a $100 bill here. It's a real $100 bill. If you were right here with me, like if you were like in the room with me, would you want it? Would you be willing to take it, right? Like I think most of us would. Let me ask you this. What about now? I mean, it's... Yeah? Okay, well, what about if I stepped on it and I smashed it? Okay, what about now? And my guess is you'd say yes, right? Because even though it's been beat up and wrinkled and used and abused, it still carries the same value, right? Listen, no matter what happens to this bill, its value doesn't change. And the same is true for us in the eyes of Jesus. No matter what your past, no matter what your failures, whatever your struggles, no matter how used and abused and crinkled up your life has been, he values you. You have ultimate value to him. And how do I know this? I know this because, listen, how much value is something worth, really? Well, by how much someone's willing to pay for it, right? Like, if you have a car and I wonder how much this is worth, well, how much will someone pay for it? You have a house, how much is this worth? Well, how much will someone pay for it? And Jesus looked at you and he looked at me. And he was willing to die on a cross for our sins. He's willing to pay the ultimate price for us. He went to a cross for you and for me. Our Heavenly Father looked at his only Son and determined that we were worth his sacrifice. And that's for everybody. That if we would enter into that relationship, that we could be forgiven and free. So no matter what you've done, God is saying, you're worth everything to me. Will you believe that truth? If you're someone who's never begun that relationship with Jesus, listen, will you believe that truth? Like, how do you respond to his love for you? How do you receive that truth? You admit your need for him, that you've fallen short, that you've sinned, that you've you're short of the standard of God, then you believe that Jesus died for you as God's Son, that he died and he rose again from the dead, that he took your sins on himself and died in your place. And you confess. You confess Jesus is both Savior, you needed a rescuer, and as Lord. I'm going to follow him the rest of my life. If that's you today, I want to encourage you to pray a prayer with me in just a moment, in the quietness of right where you're at. May today be the day that you understand, maybe for the first time, how valued you are to God. He was willing to pay the ultimate price for you. Even though our lives oftentimes have been used and abused, we've walked through it, but he values you. He loves you enough that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. Would you receive that today? And if you're someone who's been following Jesus, would you look at the people around you, the places and spaces where you live and work and play, and realize that God has placed you where he has, and that every single person that you come eyeball to eyeball with has that same value to God. And he's put you there to represent him, to point people towards him. Would you pray for the opportunities that you would have and just see what God might do? Hey, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if you've never begun that relationship with Jesus, today needs to be your day. I want to encourage you to pray a prayer simply like this. Heavenly Father, I come before you in this moment, and I admit that I've sinned, that I've fallen short of your standard, and that I need a rescuer. But I believe that Jesus is your Son, that Jesus died for my sins and rose again. So today, God, I confess him as my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord. I want to follow him the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, if you just said that prayer today, congratulations. It's the best decision you could ever make. And would you please let us know that you made that decision? We want to help walk you through your next steps with Jesus. It is a life journey of transformation. God wants to do something amazing in your life. Hey, you know, I'm so glad that you've been here today for Church Online. We have in-person services every week at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 a.m. I'd love to see you there. If you show up, make sure you greet me. I'd love to say hello. Otherwise, we'll be back here online next week for Unpredictable Savior, week number 3. Until then, God bless.
I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take. And you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.